Thessalonians, chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 3 and verse 4. I want to speak briefly on these two verses, but then there's going to be a lot of different verses tonight to go with supporting how you and I can increase our faith. Really practical steps that you and I can use each and every day in our Christian walk to be able to do exactly what it is that God needs us to do. And it's important that we learn to increase our faith. It's important that we see our faith increasing each and every day, that we don't want to be at a dead still. We want to continually be growing in the truth and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at our two verses, our focal verses for tonight, of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Now, with just these two verses alone, if we were able to apply them to our lives, we can see the evidence of why and of how we can increase in our faith. And so, what I like here in these words is the encouragement of these verses here, where it says, we're bound to thank God always for you. They're rejoicing in this. And then it says, it is fitting because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. Now, that's a good way, I think, that we should be able to describe each other. That we'll be able to look at these verses and to see that our faith is in continual growth, that we're constantly seeking the will of God, and that we're constantly increasing in our faith. And when we do that, we're able to then support one another. We're then able to look at one another and be an encourager. I think it's very important that we strive daily to be an encourager. It's so easy to be a discourager sometimes in this world that we live in, but it's so very important in our faith that we encourage one another. Especially for those that we may see who are struggling. You know, they need it more than anything. And so when we see a fellow brother or sister in Christ who is struggling, we need to step up, step in, and show them what we can do to help them, to guide them. Maybe not be able to give them the exact answer that they're in need of, but at least try to point them in the right direction. And if you can't give them the right words, then we know the best thing to do sometimes, well, there's really two good things that we can do. The one being pray with them. Pray for them, and then maybe just sit with them quietly and just let them know that you care and let them know that you are in deep concern for whatever it is that they're facing. And when you do that, you will increase their faith, and I think at the same time, you will then be able to increase your own faith, because I believe God will be able to give you, or He will give you, the strength that you need. He will open your eyes to see that you're doing exactly what it is that He needs you to do. And so no greater way than to increase your faith by just living it out daily and trying to do exactly what is right. And so I'll ask you this question: what are some practical steps that you can take? What are some practical steps that I can take to increase our level of faith each and every day? What are some things that you can do? And to me, I think that the most obvious or common answer for us would be to say that we must read our Bibles. That is really the only way that you're going to grow in any knowledge. You can sit underneath a wise Christian leader, but if you're not reading God's Word, you're not going to learn as much as you could or possibly learn. It's good to have great Christian leaders and mentors in your life, but they can't do it all for you. You need to take time and apply God's Word to your life and try to learn more on your own time versus allowing someone else to be there to teach you or to lead you. But it's important that you're willing to be led. So the very first step, there's going to be a total of six. We're going to go through three tonight, and then we're going to come back next Sunday night, and we're going to pick up the last three. But tonight, we're going to focus on the first three, and they're really simple. It's easy for you to take the time to do this if you're willing. And the very first step is being able to read the Bible, making time to read the Bible. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. It's important that you hear God's word. It's important that you read God's word. And you know, tonight you're hearing God's word from my mouth, but when you take time on your own to read God's word, one-on-one, in that quiet place, and you read God's word, you are visually seeing God's word. If you're intently reading with an open heart, ready to receive a blessing, then you can hear God's word. He will reveal things to you. He will speak to you, and He will guide you. And so it's important that we do this. It's important that we make us a point each and every day to get a steady diet of God in our lives. We try to count calories for some who are concerned about their caloric intake. Well, how concerned are you about your biblical intake? Do you count your biblical daily reading? Do you take the time to see that you're making time for God? And if you're not, obviously I'm going to encourage you to do so. Don't try to say that you're going to read 30 minutes a day. Don't set a timetable on it. Just say to God, God, I want you to allow me to make time for you. It may start off as just a few minutes a day, and then it will grow into more time because you'll then see the blessings that He's given you because you're being a student of God's Word. And that's very important that you are a student of God's Word, no matter if your Bible is 5 years old or no matter if your Bible is 55 years old. You should still be, always be, in the learning process, a student of God's Word. And that's what He wants you to do. He wants you to read it. He wants you to apply it to your lives each and every day. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. The next step that you can do, that I can do, is that we should exercise our faith. Now, I don't know how many of you are health advocates or how many of you strive to exercise, but when we exercise, it's good for our bodies, it's good for our minds, it's good for our physical, our emotional, and our mental state, our well-being. And so if you exercise your faith, then it's only going to benefit your growing in faith or your faith each and every day. So exercise your faith. And what's so important is, like I said before, reading the Bible, don't set the goal too high. Don't say you're going to read for an hour, because that's a long time. You know, you want to make sure that when you set the goal, it's obtainable. You want to make sure that when you do set the goal, that you're going to be able to reach that goal. When you reach that goal, then you can push a little bit farther. Well, the same thing here with exercising your faith. A man or woman who is a bodybuilder, or who is who participates in marathons or triathlons, they don't just immediately go and load as a bodybuilder. You just don't immediately go and load 300 pounds on the bench press and bench that. You just can't do it. Now, there may be some men who can do that, who just have that brute strength, but commonly, one cannot just go and bench press that type of weight. You have to gradually work your way up, just like one who participates in a marathon. 26 miles to run. You don't just lace up your shoes and jet out your back door and run 26 miles if you've never done it before. You must work your way up. Build that stamina. And so that's the same thing here with exercising our faith. You must each and every day exercise your faith, so as you continually grow in the Lord, you'll become stronger and stronger and stronger. And that you'll become more wise in God's word. Then you'll also have a better way, a better testimony of declaring your faith. You'll be bold. You'll have courage to not be afraid to tell a group of people what you're thankful for. And you know, that's the one thing I didn't say earlier when I was mentioning about my grandma doing that. But here we were sitting around a table of people that I've known all my life and wouldn't step up and say what I was thankful for. Now, number one reason that was holding me back, I will tell you, it's pride. Pride will really hold you back. It's probably most people's pitfall, whether you're willing to realize it or not. And of course, if you're not willing to realize it, then that's because of pride. But pride is a huge pitfall for many of us, myself included. Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31 reads, "He gives power to the weak." This is exercising your faith. "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." If we can adhere to verse 31 each and every day, our faith is going to increase. We're going to be able to exercise our faith each and every day. But before you exercise your faith, remember, set up that first parameter. Read your Bible. Make that part of your daily exercise. Read the Bible. Exercise your faith. And those verses that we just read in Isaiah, this is a brief summary, I would say, of what God's intentions are for you and for me. And it shows us that God has the greatest capacity to empower anyone who is weary. But you just got to trust Him. He can empower anyone, no matter how weak you are, no matter how afraid you may be to stand up and speak in public. He will empower any of you if you're willing. Sure, you can be scared to say a prayer in front of a congregation or to pray in front of a Sunday school class or maybe to pray in front of your own individual family. I understand that. I was there before. I remember my palms would be so sweaty. My heart would be palpitating. It seems as if it was going to jump out of my chest if I knew there was an opportunity that I was going to be called on to pray. I remember trying not to make eye contact with Preacher John, and we sat about where the Fales are sitting, and Preacher John would look at me, and as soon as his eyes would make contact with me, I'd look away. He didn't see me. But then one time he saw me, and he called on me, and I prayed. I can't tell you to this day what I said, other than amen, but I was scared. But then time passed, and I realized that the more I talked with Jesus on my own, the easier it would be that if I was ever called on again, that I would pray. And then I remember as I began to become more and more bold to pray, He would be preaching on a specific topic. And I felt that God was giving me these words to pray. And I was like, oh, if He calls on me today, I got a prayer. And He wouldn't call on me. And so I was like, man, I had a good prayer. But then I began to realize it's not about my prayer. It's not about those good words that I thought I had. It's about being a humble, willing, faithful servant for the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God would lead him again to call on me to pray, I would just make sure that my heart was in tune with the will of God and that He would speak through me and that I wouldn't worry about sounding educated. I wouldn't worry about expounding any knowledge that I had of the Bible. I would just simply talk to God one-on-one, whether I'm in this sanctuary or whether I'm driving down the road, or whether I'm at home, I would communicate with God in the same manner. And that's important for us to do. Practice makes perfect. Now, we know that we'll never become perfect until one glorious day. But until that day comes, we must practice. Read the Bible, exercise your faith. And then the third one for tonight is being able to embrace trials. Now, this is very important because if you are able to embrace the trials, then you're going to obviously be exercising your faith. And if you're capable of exercising your faith, you've only been able to obtain that abilities through the devotion of reading the Bible. Now, some of you may not read the Bible as much as you should. Well, really, none of us probably read the Bible as much as we should. But you may be just getting by. But only harm that you're doing is to yourself. Because if you're just kind of escaping by just reading a verse here or there, you're the one missing the blessings. You're the one who's not going to be able to reach his or her full potential that God has bestowed or laid out for you. So that's why it's so important that you do go the extra mile, that you to push yourself a little bit more once you become a little more and more acclimated to making time for God. And that's the difficult part. I understand that. Is being able to try to find that time in your busy schedule for God. It's just a matter of do you want to? And if you want to, you'll do it. We all know that. If you want it bad enough, you will move the heavens and the earth and the stars and the sun and the moon, whatever it may be, to get it done if you really want to do it. You'll make it happen. Devote that much time to God. You can hold your place in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and turn to 1 Peter. I want to read a few verses there. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9, and this speaks to us on the importance of how you and I can embrace trials. Very encouraging words here. And before we dismiss tonight, I'll go back and give you the scripture that I've shared with you tonight. And I would ask you to maybe go back sometime through the course of the week and reread the scripture that we have gone over together tonight. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. A heavenly inheritance. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is embracing the trial. This is what we need to apply to our lives to know exactly how we should be able to embrace trials, revealing the difficult truth that adversity has. When addressed in God's power, you can conquer anything. You know, we pray for God's will to be done, and we should mean that wholeheartedly when we do. And if we do not mean it when we utter those words, we know that God knows our hearts. But the important thing is, even if God's will is not to heal an individual on this side of earth, no matter what the situation may be, or maybe one individual has been taken abruptly from your life, no matter the cause, we see here, especially at the end of verse 9, that is through salvation's plan, that great heavenly inheritance, that it's going to be okay. Sure, our flesh, our earthly desires hurt, our selfishness to want our loved one with us causes us to hurt. But we know that if a loved one has that relationship with God, then they are right where God needs them to be. And so that's how we embrace trials. We look at the importance of a heavenly inheritance, that you should be thinking about that. We don't know when our time on earth is going to end, but we know that we are appointed once to die and then the judgment. Not that we should sit around and think about when are we going to die, but we should think about what it's going to be like when we do. And that we're going to have a heavenly inheritance. Or that I hope and that I pray that you all here tonight and those who attend this church have a heavenly inheritance. The world as we know it places great hope in things that we know will die, as we just read. That gold, it will rust, it will tarnish, it will be destroyed, it will decay, it will deteriorate. But Peter reminds us, the Christian, that our future is a heavenly inheritance. And won't it truly be worth it all? We're back in Thessalonians now. Look at verse 4 that we've already read. 2 Thessalonians verse 4. I apologize. I'm in Peter verse 4, where it speaks of the incorruptible, the undefiled, the unfading, and the reserved. That's what I was wanting to focus on. That's our lives. That we are incorruptible. You are made, you have already been made incorruptible. You're no longer defiled. You're no longer going to fade away. Your earthly body, sure, it will fade away. But reserved for you in heaven is that great reward, that great inheritance. And when you think about those things, that should increase your faith. When you begin to think about all that God has waiting for us. You know, we sang the song, Count Your Many Blessings, and we want to name them one by one. Here on earth, God has given us blessing after blessing after blessing, and we're going to receive more this week. We know this. But think about that great heavenly blessing that he has already prepared. He told us that he's prepared it. He said, if it were not true, I would have told you so. But we know that it's true. And so when we think about that, that should really increase your faith in knowing that you're going to continue to press on each and every day for that goal, for that mark, for that prize. And then while you're doing that, you need to lead others in that very same direction. Worldly hope will take you straight to hell. You need to think about that and truly wrap your mind around that, because the things that this world promises you will take you to hell if you do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing good that this earth has to offer. But we can rest assured in knowing that that heavenly hope, that great hope that we have as the believer for tomorrow, is that promise of that Beulah land, sweet Beulah land. Now, our hope that we have in Jesus doesn't mean that you will not face various trials and you will not face various tribulations within your life. But when you do face these things, those are other examples. Those are other tasks that you must defeat to increase your faith. Your sorrows are superficial, meaning it will not last forever. And your focal point should always be joy. You think about that. How many of you have suffered sorrows that have literally lasted you forever? No one. And you won't. They may last you while you're here on this earth, but they will not last you forever. That's a promise. You must believe this because it's from our Heavenly Father. Now, for the unbeliever, joy or gladness is superficial. For the unbeliever, for those who walk the walk of the world, their joy is superficial. I mean, it's only right here at the level of what their eyes can see or what they can feel. There's no true joy for those who do not believe. And then their sorrow is the focal point, because one day their sorrows are going to come to reality. And once that reality sets in, there will be no turning back. As believers, we are to make sure we focus on what God wants us to do. But also as a believer, we must also realize that we're not immune to adversity. As I said this morning, wouldn't it be nice if we were? But we know that if we were immune to adversity, we would then think that we had no need for God. And we have great need for God. Job 5:7 says, "Yet man is born to trouble as the spark flies upward." Now you think about the times that you've made a fire, a campfire, a bonfire, or whatever, in that fire pit, and you see those sparks go away. How quickly do they go away? How quickly do they rise up and then fade away? These are the very same troubles that a man is born into. As soon as one goes up and is gone, there's another to take its place. So as soon as one trouble has entered your heart and maybe left your heart, there's another one to take its place. If you do not adhere to God's word, you will not be able to combat these troubles. You must have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must be able to then increase your faith by pressing through these troubles, just as Job did. Evil exists in the world. Suffering is a part of everyday life, but God will not always shield you from trouble. He will not always shield you from trouble. He will guard you from troubles, but he's not going to always put that hedge and shield around you. You know, we pray for that hedge to be around us. We pray for God's shield to always be around us, but sometimes that hedge is broken down. Sometimes that shield is somewhat removed and a calamity may take place. Does that mean that God doesn't love you anymore? No, it doesn't. It just simply means it's now time for you to exercise your faith. It simply means it's now time for you to embrace that struggle or that particular trial that has come your way. We must realize that sometimes suffering is a direct result of our sinful actions. And I think a lot of times it's hard for us to do. You know, we don't want to really see and maybe recognize that, what I did brought this calamity upon I brought it upon myself. We don't want to admit that. And then we know sometimes other people's sinful choices or decisions brings on bad for us. But ultimately, we must remember that God is in control. And if a sinful activity or intention or whatever you've done has brought some hardship in your life, recognize the sin. ask God to forgive you of that sin, to take that sin away, and you continue to exercise your faith. You continue to press on each and every day. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Do you love God? Somebody smile. Shake your head in agreeance. Yes. Does God love you? He sure does. And He's going to work these things for good, for His benefit, so that He can receive honor and glory, so that you can see another example of why you must exercise your faith. Not only for your own Christian walk, but for those who are around you. So many people's eyes are always looking in, and they want to see if you are always living for Jesus, if you're always living like you should. And are you? No. We're always a work in progress, but we should never, ever give up. No matter how hard it is, we should always press forward and do what God needs us to do. And that meaning that we must always cast every individual care that we have upon the Lord, for He cares for you. He cares for your heartaches. He cares for all that you go through. But we must remember, always remember, that sin is what has brought upon the evil of the world. That's life. That's what we live in. That's why bad things happen, is because of the sin that entered the world thousands and thousands of years ago. We suffer from it. We contribute to it. But our God, who we serve, who we love, who we come here to worship, is the one who abolishes those sins. He has already wiped them away. This is why we exercise our faith. This is why we should be able to increase our faith daily. 2 Timothy 2:13 reads, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself." There's times in your lives that you are faithful. There's times in your life where you are faithless. But that doesn't change our God. That doesn't change the love of Jesus. That doesn't change the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within your life. Even when you have fallen off the beaten path, God is still faithful. He is there ready to take care of you, to lift you back up, to get you right back on course. And many of us, time and time again, have strayed. We haven't always walked that narrow path, and that's okay. But you've got to recognize that. You've got to be willing to see that you're in constant need of God's direction, God's guidance, in constant need of increasing your faith. Just as God has been faithful in the past, He will continue to do so in the present, and even those future trials that you will face. And so I encourage you to always be willing to allow your heart and your mind to be led by God. Don't be ashamed to know, to see that you need Him. That you need Him to lead you. That you need Him to guide you. That you are not as strong as you think you are. Mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You're not. It is only through God that you can experience this. It is only through God that you can have what He wants for you. I think that's a good way to put it. If you're in line with God, you can have what He wants for you to have. But when you're out of God's will, well, number one, there's no way you can increase your faith if you're not living in the center of God's will. But if you're willing to be in God's will, He will give you exactly what you need at that given time. But He cannot do what's best for you if you're not willing to submit. He's still in control, but you're not going to be able to receive the benefit of being in the center of God's will. I want to go back and let you, if you're interested in writing these verses down before we dismiss, and go back and reread these verses tonight, or through the course of the week. That first one that I gave you was Romans 10:17. That coincides with reading the Bible, the importance of reading the Bible. The second set of scripture that I gave you was Isaiah 40, verses 29 through 31 on how and why we must exercise our faith. The third set of scripture that we went over was 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. This is the embracing of the trials. And of course, our focal passage was 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 3 and 4. I do encourage you to try to go back and read this sometime and focus on it, meditate on it. But in order to do that, you got to do step one, read your Bible. Step two, exercise your faith. And then three, embrace the trial. Next week when we come back on Sunday evening, we'll go over 4, 5, and 6. They still coincide with this very same verse. But if you don't do anything else tonight or the rest of this week, do step one. Focus on it first. Do it with an open mind and an open heart, asking God to reveal His Word to you, give you exactly what it is that you're in need of at that time. No matter the scripture, focus on it. And then after that takes place, I think 2 and 3 will fall in suit. And when that transpires, you'll be doing exactly what God needs you to do. Don't ever be afraid or ashamed to increase your faith. Let us pray. Our Father God, we thank You for this evening. Lord, I thank You for all the many blessings of life, and I thank You for this opportunity to be in Your house of worship again tonight. Father, I pray a special blessing on all who are here tonight. Lord, I pray that You will wrap Your loving arms around each individual. They will feel Your touch. They will feel You close to them, God, that they will sit still and they will know that You are God. They will listen for Your voice so that they can be led by Your hand. Father, we love You and we do praise You. Teach us how to increase our faith each and every day, Father. In Your precious and holy name, I do pray. Amen.